Good morning. As Bill mentioned, I started out here, and it's kind of interesting that then when I retired after 44 years, a year into that, I sent out a letter to churches saying that I was available if there were churches that would like somebody to come and speak on Sunday morning. And interestingly enough, the first call I got was from Bangor Liberty. And I keep meticulous records. And so the first time I spoke was here at this church on June 10th, 2012. So I started out here preaching, then I started out here in this part. And as I stand before you today, I've been out 176 Sundays. On Sunday morning, so it has been a real privilege to be able to do that. The other part of what we've been doing since we've retired is that we have 8 grandkids. Our son Ted has 3 and our daughter Trish has 5. Yes, 5. And so for the last almost 8 years now, we have been watching and helping with grandkids anywhere from 2.5 to 5.5 days a week. And it's a miracle we're still around. One of my grandkids, Lyndon, Trish's second, is 9 years old. And one day we were sitting around visiting, and how it got to this, I have no idea. But we started talking about what he was going to do when he grew up. And so we're discussing that, and he said that when he grows up, he's going to be a baseball player. I said, really? He said, yeah. He said he's going to play baseball for the St. Louis Cardinals. Yeah. His and his dad's favorite team. Well, kids, I mean, right, that's what's going to happen. But nonetheless, I didn't want to discourage him. So I said, well, Lyndon, that's great. That's great. That's wonderful. I said, can I come and watch you play? And he said, yeah, if you're still alive. But that's what I want to talk about today, because the day's probably coming for every one of us, isn't it? And as Christians, that's not something we should be fearful of. If you turn in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And you're probably there, and I'm not. Okay, here we go. And we're going to begin in the 16th verse, where Paul tells us, speaking about what we just talked about, where Paul says to us, beginning in verse 16, "For if the dead are not raised, then Christ has not been raised either. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. Then those who have fallen asleep in Christ are lost." Look at verse 19. "If only in this life we have hope in Christ, we are of all people most to be pitied." But, verse 20, "But Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep." The Bible is clear, is it not, that it's the story of God who sent his Son, who we celebrate at Christmas, came as a babe in a manger, but the Bible is clear, he's coming again. And when he comes this time, it will not be as a babe in a manger. In fact, the Bible tells us that when Christ comes again, every eye will see, and every knee will bow, and every tongue confess. You've heard that, haven't you? Have you thought about that? Every eye will see. When in the history of our world has there been a time when every eye has seen? There hadn't been. Even with all the stuff about the walking on the moon, there were tons of people who missed that, who did not see that. In fact, they tell us that the most watched event every year is, boo to you people who hate sports, the Super Bowl. The most watched event is the Super Bowl, and 40% of the country see the Super Bowl. So 60% don't even see that. And that's the best. And yet it tells us what? That when Christ comes back, every eye will see, and every knee will bow. Again, I'm amazed by that when I think about it. Have you paid any attention? Glad you're here this morning, but do you know that we're getting a lot closer to 30 than 40%? Closer to 30% of the people who live in this country are not here. Not just not here. Are not in church on Sunday morning. Less and less and less people don't believe in Jesus, don't go to church, don't do any of that, in fact, are somewhat belligerent about, don't be ramming that stuff down my throat. I don't want to hear that. And yet it tells us that when he comes back, every eye will see, and every, not some, not a few, not many, every knee will bow, and every tongue will confess. Again, I'm amazed by that. Think of the people who don't even want you to mention the name of Jesus. It says, and every tongue will confess what? That Jesus Christ is Lord. I don't think we can even begin to imagine what a great day that will be. The Bible tells us he came as a babe in a manger, but he's coming again, and when he comes this time, he will come, the Bible says, as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the mighty counselor, the great warrior. He will come in triumph. He will come crowned with glory. He will come as the great I am. It's great news. Okay, let's look at a couple other scriptures here before we go on. Turn to Daniel. Since you may not always be in Daniel, if you find Jeremiah, go past that to Ezekiel. And then after Ezekiel, you'll bump into Daniel. Daniel chapter 7. I'd give you a page number, but it won't do you any good. Daniel chapter 7. And in this portion of Scripture, Daniel's given a vision. And beginning in verse 13, Daniel 7, beginning in verse 13, it says, in my vision at night I looked, and there before me was one like a son of God, coming with the clouds of heaven. He approached the Ancient of Days and was led into his presence. Verse 14, he was given authority, glory, and sovereign power. All nations and peoples of every language worshiped him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion that will not pass away, and his kingdom is one that will never be destroyed. And then let's go to Revelation. Revelation chapter 1. Okay, Revelation chapter 1. And beginning in verse 7, it says, "Look, he is coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him, even those who pierced him, and all peoples on earth will mourn because of him. So shall it be, amen." Verse 8, "I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty." I mean, one of the bad things about all of this, much of this good news about Christ, the mighty King, and his coming again, and what all that's going to mean, and the hope that there is for us, is that much of it is found in the book where we just read, the book of Revelation. The book that most people don't even turn to. Not even don't even turn to, but are scared of. Okay, stick with me here, and I know you know this stuff, so don't be shy, okay? The book of Revelation was written by John, okay? The book of Revelation was written by John, and where was John when he wrote this book? Okay, the Isle of Patmos, very good. And why was he on the Isle of Patmos? My ears aren't good, so somebody may have said the right thing and I just didn't hear it. Okay, that's right. He was a prisoner. He was in exile. For what? He was in exile for being a good man. He was in exile for being a preacher who was faithful to the church that he preached in. He was in exile for being faithful to the gospel of Jesus Christ. And for that, and for all the years that he gave to that, they sent him to prison. They exiled him. They cut him off from everybody. Put yourself in John's place. Would you be thrilled? Would you be feeling good about life at that moment? I wouldn't be. And from what we get from the scripture, John wasn't either. So here he is, exiled on Patmos, and God appears to him. And as God appears to him, God peels back the curtain and lets John see what's going to come. He doesn't only let John see, but by John writing it down, he lets us see what's going to come. And you know John's reaction? He dropped on his knees and worshiped. And if we get a hold of what we're being told in the book of Revelation, we'll do the same thing. Drop on our knees and worship. But, Revelation is scary. I don't get all of that stuff. We don't have to get it all, you just have to understand the basic stuff. And I found that one of the best ways to do that is to get a good Bible commentary, and there's a ton of them out there. I'm not pushing one, although I'm going to mention one, but I'm not pushing one, but there's a lot of them out there. But get a good Bible commentary, and as you're reading it, have them explain to you what's going on. The one that I like best is a commentary by, it's called A Bible Handbook by Warren Wiersbe. Anybody ever heard of Warren Wiersbe? Warren Wiersbe is a Bible scholar, perhaps the best Bible scholar alive today. And he's written this Bible handbook, and he's talking about what we're doing to, at the end of it, obviously, in Revelation, he's explaining the book of Revelation. And he tells us this, he will tell you that in the book of Revelation, there are two major phrases, key words in the book of Revelation. The first is the Lamb. Who's the Lamb? Okay. The sacrificial Lamb, the Lamb that died for our sins, the Lamb who gave His life so that we could be forgiven. So that theme, the theme of the Lamb, is one of the major themes of the book of Revelation. And he says, John never lets us forget that Jesus died for the sins of the world. And that's important, right? We shouldn't forget that, that Jesus died for the sins of the world. So one theme in Revelation is the Lamb. The second theme in the book of Revelation is the throne. The throne. The word throne is used 40 times in the book of Revelation. Why is that important? It's telling us what's to come. And we know that Jesus came as a sacrificial lamb. We know that He came as a babe in a manger. But in Revelations, we're told that's not how He's coming back. He's coming back as the King of kings and Lord of lords. Wiersbe tells us that Revelation describes the conflict between the throne of the Lamb, that's one of the themes, right? The throne of the Lamb in heaven and the throne of Satan on earth. Conflict tells us that there's a conflict that's taken place between the Lamb who's on the throne in heaven and Satan who's on the throne where? On earth. Now, this is not what I want to preach about today, but you can do your own study here. I hear people say all the time, how can there be, if there's a loving God, people always start with that, if there's a loving God, how can all of these things happen? How can all of these bad things happen? We just heard how all these bad things can happen. Who's on the throne on earth? There's a conflict taking place. Satan has been defeated, but Satan has not been thrown yet into the pit. And we're dealing with that. But he goes on to say that, as John writes, he depicts the worship in heaven and the warfare on earth. Are you listening? He depicts the worship in heaven and warfare on earth, and the Lord is the victor. No matter how dark the day, he says, or how strong the force of evil, the Lamb of God wins the victory. Now, I want to ask you today, as we're sitting here, where are you going to hear better news than that? That Jesus is the victor, that we will be the victor if we are in Christ Jesus. Where are you going to hear better news than that? You going to read it in your newspaper? No, you're not. I got up early today, and so I got to look at the paper a little before I came. What you read in the paper is the gas prices are high. That's what you read in the paper. You're not going to read good. Are you going to see it on TV? No. That's the reason that we should be excited when we get to church on Sunday morning. Not because the preacher's good. Doesn't matter whether the preacher's good or not. The message is great. The message is great. And the message is what? That Jesus is the victor and that the Lamb of God will win the victory. I must be talking too loud. I'm getting dry. Sorry about that. Wiersbe says, again, talking about Revelation, while good and godly people disagree on the details of interpreting John's numbers and symbols, most agree that the last days will be marked by the increase of evil, check mark, the rise of a world government and a world ruler, the attempt of Satan to destroy God's people, folks, big check mark. The pouring out of God's wrath on a rebellious world and the return of Jesus Christ to deliver his own and establish his kingdom. We're living in those days. You know, Billy Graham said, the Christian is not to be disturbed by the chaos, violence, strife, bloodshed, and threat of war that fills the pages of our daily newspapers. We know that these things are the consequences of sin and greed. Every day we see 1,000 evidences of the fulfillment of biblical prophecy. Billy Graham says, every day as I read my newspaper, I say, the Bible is true. So Warren Wiersbe tells us that as we read the book of Revelation, don't get lost in the detail, but try to see the big picture. Okay, that seems important. So what is the big picture? He sums up the big picture that Jesus, God, is the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, and what he starts, he finishes. And the day is coming when he will finish. One of my favorite authors is Max Lucado, and one of the reasons that I like him so well is he's a wordsmith. He's able to take thoughts and concepts and bring them to life. Well, in his study Bible, he says this. This is his introduction to the book of Revelation, and it's nothing like I've seen anyplace else. But I think it helps us to understand the news that's there, the good news that's there. This is what he says. An ancient legend tells of a general whose army was afraid to fight. The soldiers were frightened. The enemy was too strong. Its fortress was too high and weapons too mighty. The king, however, was not afraid. He knew his men would win, but how could he convince them? He had an idea. He told his soldiers that he possessed a magical coin, a prophetic coin, a coin which would foretell the outcome of the battle. On one side was an eagle, and on the other a bear. He would toss the coin. If it landed eagle side up, they would win. If it landed with a bear up, they would lose. The army was silent as the coin flipped in the air. Soldiers circled as it fell to the ground. They held their breath and they looked and shouted when they saw the eagle. The army would win. Bolstered by the assurance of victory, the men marched against the castle and won. It was only after the victory that the king showed the men the coin. The two sides were identical. In case you've been sleeping, that means there was an eagle on both sides. Though the story is fictional, the truth is reliable. Assured victory empowers the army. That may be the reason God gave us the book of Revelation. In it, he assures victory. We, the soldiers, are privileged to glimpse into the final battlefield. All hell breaks loose as all heaven comes forth. The two collide in the ultimate battle of good and evil. Left standing amidst the smoke and thunder is the Son of God. Jesus, born in a manger, now triumphant over Satan. Satan is defeated, Christ is triumphant, and we, the soldiers, are assured of victory. Let us march. You see why Revelation is so important? It tells us our hope. Now, this may be a poor way to go about it, but as I was thinking about this, I thought, maybe you have spent a lot of time studying something so you feel like you know a lot about it, or you know other people who have spent a lot of time in their life studying, really studying, so they know a lot about a certain subject, so when that's something you, that subject's something you want to know about, you go to them because they've studied it. Well, if you want to know a lot about the Bible, I think you go to people who know a lot about the Bible. I don't know if you've heard this word or not, this name or not. I found out in several churches that I filled in for several Sundays that most of them had not. Anybody here, and I'm asking for a show of hands, anybody here heard of Henry Blackaby? Well, good. That's higher than the number I usually get. Henry Blackaby is most famous for his book, for his work Experiencing God, which is one of the great Christian books of all time. But Henry Blackaby has written several devotional books. In fact, I have two of them that I read all the time. Henry Blackaby is a Bible scholar. Henry Blackaby knows the Bible. I've heard him speak four or five times. Quite honestly, he's not an impressive speaker. He never tells any jokes. Not that that's a bad thing, but I like jokes. But he never tells any jokes. He's kind of a monotone when he speaks. You got to work hard. But what he has to say is so powerful. And he quotes the Bible again and again and again. And he will tell you, like I said today, he'll tell you, turn to 1 Corinthians 15. Turn to Daniel. Turn to Revelation. And you'll do that, but I've watched him. He never does. Because he quotes it right from here. So I don't know if you know it or not, but take my word for it. You want somebody that knows something about the Bible, Henry Blackaby knows the Bible. You want to hear Henry Blackaby's summation of the book of Revelation? God wins. There you have it, folks. There you have it. We have the book of Revelation because it tells us what? God wins. In the last day, in the final analysis, God will be the victor. And those who are in Christ Jesus will be with him. Revelation 17:14 says, they being the enemies of God, they will wage war against the Lamb. We've heard that, right? A theme of Revelation, the Lamb. They will wage war against the Lamb, but the Lamb will triumph over them because he is the Lord of lords and King of kings. Henry Blackaby says, God's people may find themselves surrounded by forces hostile to God. Yet the world's forces and earthly power do not determine the victory. God does that. The Lamb will overcome. Praise God.